Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now say hallelujah like you mean hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hear the chains falling. Amen. I believe that you can be set free in this place tonight. Say, I can be set free. Praise God. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Glory. Praise God. Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Second Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read that again from the New King James Version. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Amen. How many of you are in the faith? I'm asking you to examine yourself. The scripture is asking us to examine ourselves to find out if indeed we are in the faith. The New King James Version uses the word test yourselves. Amen. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Test yourself to see if you're qualified or disqualified. Amen. Paul is talking, of course, to the Corinthian church, and one of the reasons that the letters to the Corinthians are included is because it's just like a lot of churches. Somehow we think that in Bible times the early church had this perfect way of doing things and everything was just right, but most of the New Testament epistles are all about what needed to be done in order to correct what was going wrong in those churches. Amen. So it applies to us just as well. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. This is the second letter, and he says, enough! He said, I have visited, I have written, I have prayed. Now it's up to you. Prove whether you are in the church or not. Well, that doesn't sound very Christian, Brother Seidel. Well, it's biblical. It's time for your test. How many of you like to take a test? The teacher, Jeanette Thunder, raised her hand. He said, are you qualified? When I read this, I have to ask myself, am I qualified? Hopefully that's how you read the Bible. You don't read it and wonder if someone else is qualified, but am I qualified? But because I'm here, I have to ask you, are you qualified? Now, you may not agree with me at first that this is the approach that God would actually... Some people have the idea that Christianity is... the old saying, I don't even know what it means or where it comes from, come see, come saw. You know, however I like it, that's how I'm going to take it. Yeah, a little bit of French for you, for those in Rio Linda. Oh, wait, that's different. Sorry. You may feel that maybe this is a corrupt doctrine or something, but in fact, God calls on us to test ourselves. the scripture says there's a point where you have to prove that you're in the boat. Just stick with me to the end here. Hopefully you'll all agree with me by then. You know, it's just the opposite of a smoker or a drinker or anyone who has an addiction. You know, when you have an addiction, you say, oh, I can quit that any time. At least that's what I said when I was smoking. I can quit that any time. Well, then why don't you? Well, I don't feel like it right now. But in the church, it's just the opposite. Some people think that I can get right with. I can just come back anytime I feel like. I can just decide on a spur of the moment. There comes a point when we have to test ourselves, and we don't always get to decide when that time comes. I'm not saying that God is not always willing to accept our repentance. What I am saying is that sometimes we convince ourselves that we're going to just flip the switch and change our lives and be able to come back to God. And in fact, life gets a hold of us. And when the test comes, there will be a test. There will be a test. There's always a test. Brother Thompson teaches at MATC. Is there a test in your class? Every week. Well, it's just sheet metal. I mean, do you test because they're working with sheet metal? There's always a test. Those of you who have been in Purpose Institute know about Brother Kasky's surprise quizzes. Pop quiz. Now, it's funny. It's a joke. It's a standing joke for anybody who's had Brother Kasky's class because they call it a pop quiz, but you know every time you come to his class, there's going to be a quiz. So there's no pop about it. The only time he quizzes you the first time you come to class in the semester. He hasn't taught you anything yet, and he gives you a quiz. Isn't that right, Brother Dave? Amen. So it's a joke. Brother Kasky's pop quiz. No pop about it. There's always a test. You want to graduate from high school? There's going to be a test. You want to get a degree from college, Brother Phil? Just one test, right? This week, one test. There's always a test. You want to get a driver's license? There's a test. You have to be qualified. Do you want to go to heaven? Anybody want to go to heaven? I think everybody raised their hand. There will be a test. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Again, New King James Version says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You want to know about the truth of God and the truth about Jesus Christ? There's a test. Amen. Just anything that anybody teaches or preaches is not valid. There's a test. It's in the book. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Again, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Test just the things that you're worried about. Test all things. You want to make the right choices in life? You want to live the right kind of life? There's a test. There's always a test. Everyone say, there's a test. We test the spirits. We test our choices the same way that we're going to be tested. It's all measured by the Word of God. The answer key has been given to us. There will be a test. There will be a test tonight. At the end of this message, there will be a test. There will be a test tomorrow when you get up. There will be a test when you get to work tomorrow. There will be a test when you have your first conversation with whoever it is that lives at your house. There will be a test. There will be a test the next day. There will be a test the day after that. There will be a test in your life every day of your life for the rest of your life. There will be a test on the day you die. There's going to be a test. Praise God. And all of the answers are in the book. And the ultimate answer is Jesus Christ. Will you and I pass the test? We have to ask ourselves, am I qualified? In a lot of motor sports, there's a thing called a time trial. I'm not a big NASCAR guy, and I know that Indy's coming up, and a week before Indy, or they used to do it a week before, they would have time trials to see who's going to, and they have kind of a convoluted formula, so I'm going to simplify it and say that time trials are the test to see where you get to line up at the starting pole. Okay, that's a simplified version. And it's a test. It determines who starts first, second, or third, and you have to race against the clock. Some situations, they get multiple chances to have their best run, and their best run is what's measured. But nonetheless, listen to this. In order to get in the race, just in order to participate, there's a test. You have to qualify just to be part of the race. Look at John 3:3. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and questioned him about the source of his spiritual authority. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, where are you getting this authority, this power from? Jesus said, you don't get it. Because you haven't passed the test yet. You can't see it because you haven't been born again. You haven't passed the eye exam, Nicodemus. You don't see it because you haven't passed the test. Why do these people act this way here at this apostolic Pentecost? Why do they do the things they do? They stand up and wave their arms and jump around and shout and scream. How come they don't talk the way I do? How come they don't act the way we do? You don't get it because you haven't passed the test. You have to qualify. Praise God, you have to pass the eye exam before you can see the kingdom of God. There is a test. You must be born again, Jesus said. Nicodemus said, I didn't even know there was such a test. How is it possible to be born again? Jesus said, it's a two-part exercise. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. This is something Brother Grant taught me a long time ago. In a home Bible study, John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay, most of the Christian world will accept that. Oh, yeah, you got to be born of the water. And they'll define that according to how they feel. But then listen, how do you know if you've passed the test? Isn't it? Now, they used to do it this way in college, Pastor Phil. I don't know if they still do it this way, but you had to, when you took your exam, you had to go to your professor's or TA's office and look on the door, because that's where they would post the results. Yeah, you know, you get it all online now. It's right there. So, you didn't know if you passed the test. There's some people that have taken a test for Purpose Institute in my class, and some of them, they're not even sure if they have the test yet, but they're supposed to answer, send me their take-home test result on the in an email. But all they have is hard copy, so I have to send them the email so they can take the test and send it back to me. Praise God. How do you know if you pass a test? Anybody ever have to wait for the... We used to have to wait to get our final grades for the semester in the mail. For those of you who don't know, the mail is that little... Sometimes it's a little truck goes... And sometimes it's a person with a little bag that they carry around, and that's not a purse. There's stuff in there. It's letters. And a letter is paper folded over in an envelope and with a stamp on it, and somebody carries that from place to place. That's called mail. And we used to have to wait for the mail, like, 3 weeks after the semester was over before we got our grades in the mail. And if we were lucky, we got our hands on it before our parents when we went home from college. How do we know if we passed the test, Jesus? Nicodemus said. Jesus said this. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And I didn't print it out, but look at verses 8 through 10. If you can give that to me. I'm sorry I didn't give that to you. I stopped too soon. The wind, this is what Brother Grant showed me, and it convinced me. This was the thing that made the difference. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the, that was the same day that I dropped the barbecue chicken in my lap at your house. I don't know if you remember that. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou, Sister Grant probably remembers it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So are the Pentecostals that go to the UPC church that are born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? He still didn't get it. He hadn't passed the test. Jesus answered, said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Praise God. How do you know if you passed the test? The wind blows where it wants to. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. But you hear the sound of it. You hear the sound of the... And then Brother Grant explained to me. You hear the sound of the wind when it blows upon something. You don't hear the wind, you hear the thing that it touches. You hear it rattling the leaves in the tree. You hear it blowing over the top of the pop bottle and when it whistles. You hear it when it goes through the whistle and it creates that loud, annoying tweet sound. That's when the wind blows upon something, when it touches something, when it affects something, that's when you hear the sound of it. How do you know if you've passed the test, Jesus? Nicodemus, you hear the sound of it. Everyone that is filled with the Spirit is going to make a sound. And the sound was the sound that they heard on the day of Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Praise God. Amen. This is a test. You can pass the test tonight. You don't get it because you haven't passed the eye test, Nicodemus. But you have the opportunity. You can qualify. The time will come on the day of Pentecost. There's a very good chance that Nicodemus was among those that helped find a burial place for Jesus. It's very likely that he was there when they laid him in the tomb. And there's a really good chance. I can't prove it scripturally, but I can prove that there's enough evidence to indicate that there's a good argument that perhaps he was there in the upper room. It's a two-part exercise. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You can pass. Do you qualify? In order to get in the race at a NASCAR event, in order to race in the Indy 500, you have to first qualify. If you want to get on track, if you want to be in the Christian race, if you want to be in the race toward heaven, you have to qualify. You have to get on the track to begin with. There's a lot of people running around this world. They think they're going to heaven. They haven't even qualified to enter the race. You don't even get the roadmap until you've been born again. Amen. Praise God. There's another form of time trial. In many racing sports, an athlete will compete in a time trial against the clock to secure the fastest time. So they're all running the same course, but they're released at different times. And instead of everybody starting at the same time and finishing in whatever order they do, they leave at different times, but they're running the same course, and somebody's tracking each of them on a clock. So really, they're racing against the clock. Ultimately, their times are going to be compared, but they're racing against the clock, not directly against one another. You see, I'm not racing against you to get to heaven. And you're not racing against me. You're not racing against your brother. You're not racing against your sister. You're not racing against your mother. You're not racing against your father. So it doesn't matter if your father was the most wicked person you ever met in your life. He's not the one you're racing against. Praise God. And it doesn't matter if your sister was the holiest Joe you ever met. You're not racing against her. You're just racing against the clock. Your time's going to run out someday. My time's going to run out someday. We're racing against the clock, and we have to decide whether we're going to qualify or not before that time is up. Praise God. Amen. The Christian race is different. Every man, 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. That's talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the fire of God's word. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It doesn't matter what anyone else did. It doesn't matter what your family did. It doesn't matter what your church did. It matters what you did. Your work is what you're going to be judged by. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. We are not measured against each other. You know the story about the two men in the woods and the bear, right? They're going through the woods and they see all these signs. They know that there's a bear around. They see tracks and they see where he's eating some stuff, and they're getting nervous. There's a bear in the woods, and they know it. And the one guy looks at the other, and he says, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to outrun a bear. Now, I know a lot of you know this. And his buddy says, I'm not worried about outrunning a bear. He says, no, why not? He says, because all I have to do is outrun you. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have to try and outrun some of you, because some of you are great Christians. I'm not racing against you. You're not racing against me. I'm not racing against Bishop Grant or Brother Thomas or Brother Phil. Praise God, we have to run our own race. Each of us has to qualify on our own. Now, I know we're here to help one another. We're here to lift one another up. We're here to bear one another's burdens, and that's true. But I'm not going to be judged by what you do for me. I'm going to be judged by how I respond to the Word of God, how I serve Him, what I do in His name, whether I qualify or not. The score key for the test is the Bible. And it doesn't grade on the curve. Sometimes in the college class, I would look around and you do these discussion groups and you would do your homework together and sometimes talk about it, and you realize partway through the class either I'm doing way better than a lot of these people or I'm doing way worse than a lot of these people. And you didn't have to get a 98% when you're grading on the curve. All you had to do was get a 75 if everyone else was getting a 70. But it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. He's not grading on the curve. So don't look at me to determine whether or not you're going to heaven. Don't look at Bishop Grant. Don't look at Brother Brunker, because that's not the determining factor. The determining factor is where you stand in accordance to the Word of God. There's going to be a test. There will be a test. Matters what you did in your life, not what your family did, not what your church did. What did you do? What did you do? We're being tested here tonight. Right now, the Spirit of God is working in this place. The Word of God is talking to us, ministering to us, and He's testing us. He's trying our hearts. He's pressing us. He's measuring us. He's weighing us, because He's God and He cares about our eternal soul. He's testing every one of us in this place. Psalm 105:17 says, He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that His word came. The word of the Lord tried him. I never caught this before. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Let me tell you about Joseph. A son of Jacob, you know, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a son of Jacob, he was sold as a slave by his brothers. As a slave, he was lied on by his master's wife and thrown in prison. And as a prisoner, he was forgotten by his fellow prisoners when they promised to put in a good word for him. So all along the line, he's being treated wrong. He's getting ripped off. But the Bible says that the word of the Lord tested him. As a counselor to the king, he was put in a position to forgive or not forgive his brothers. Now, I read that story a little different than a lot of people. Most people, I should say, read that story and they talk about Joseph like he just was such a godly man that when he saw his brothers, he said, oh, great, we're going to reconcile. The way I read it is I see Joseph wrestling with himself, trying to decide, I should help these guys out? They were going to kill me. And then they sold me as a slave. I spent years in prison because of these guys. I almost died a couple of times. The word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tested him. He was in some terrible situations, and every time he was in his heart and in his mind, the word of the Lord was talking to him, and he was trying to decide, am I going to work my own way out of this, or am I going to obey the word of the Lord? Am I going to do what God tells me to do, or am I going to do what I really, really want to do? It was a test over and over and over again. He was tested. And another test, and another test, and another test. There's always a test. the Word of God brings a test. What is your test tonight? What is it God is dealing with you about? You can't sit in a service like this and not have the Holy Ghost deal with your heart. There's something that God talked to you about already, probably before I even got up in the pulpit. There's a test here tonight. Every time the Word of God is spoken, every time the Word of God is preached, the Bible says it will not return void. It will do the thing wherewith it was sent. Praise God. Doesn't matter whether you've been to church 10,000 times or this is the first time you've ever been in an apostolic service, the Word of God is working. And there's a test tonight. What is your test? What are you being called to do? Is God calling you to forgive somebody? Is God calling you to commit to something? Or is He calling on you to let something go? There's a test. It's taking place right now. Maybe He's calling on you to start something up. Free source. Praise God. Is she here tonight? That was somebody's idea. They said, I have a burden. They sent me an email. I sent it to Brother Phil. Brother Phil said, this is a great idea. I think we'll do it. They worked together and they came up with Free Source. Praise God, a resource for members of the body of Christ online. Because there was a test and someone passed it. Amen. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Another version says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Praise God. Maybe someone here needs patience tonight. Amen. Sometimes a test is not to see how well you perform. You know, whether you get an A or a B or a C or it's not... But it's a test to see how you perform. There's a difference. How do you approach the problem? How do you deal with it? Amen. That's why for us, we measure ourselves against each other because we can always find someone who's not doing as well as we are. Well, and how many times have you talked to someone and talked to them about having... finding salvation, finding the Lord, and their answer is, well, I'm not a bad guy. And what they're thinking is, I know at least three guys that are worse than me. But that doesn't matter. It's how you respond to the Word of God. In the world, when you go into the classroom and you sit down and they say, be quiet, it's a test. Quiet, just like that. I said, it's a test. But I'm so glad that it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God, because when I'm being tested, I don't have to be quiet. When I'm in the middle of a test, I can reach out. Oh God, what do I do here? Lord, I don't get this. I don't understand this. I'm having trouble here, Lord. This is a real temptation for me. God, I need your help right now. Praise God. I don't have to be quiet when I'm being tested because I can call out to the living God and He will answer me. Praise God. I remember one time, and I told my wife this story a lot of times, and it's kind of a family joke. I was in a shop class in high school, and there was a question on the test that I didn't understand. And I raised my hand and I asked the shop teacher, and he was someone that had kind of an adversarial relationship with the students, let's put it like that. But I was being sincere, and I may have been one of those students that had that kind of adversarial relationship with him, perhaps. But I was serious when I asked him about the question that tried to find out what it really meant. And I said, does this mean what I think it means? And his answer was, maybe, and maybe not. well, maybe I deserved that and maybe I didn't, but I'm glad that Jesus doesn't answer maybe and maybe not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're in a trial tonight, if you're struggling tonight, if you want to be delivered tonight, there's no maybe about it. The promises of God, the Bible says, are yea and amen. Praise God. Our God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Praise God. And he will let you know your greed. Let's stand. I said, he will let you know your greed. Praise God. You can come to this altar tonight and you can bring all of your burdens, all of your cares, all of your fears, all of your doubts, all of your addictions, all of your you can bring them to the Lord. This is a test. He wants to know. He's not asking you to score 100 on a test. He just wants you to respond appropriately. He just wants you to trust him. See, when I take a test at school, it's up to me. I have to do all the work. I have to understand. But when I come to God, when I respond in his test, he does all the work. I don't have to be good enough to pass the test in the house of God. All I have to do is cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Praise God. The Bible says that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He already paid the price for my sins, so I don't have to pay the price. All I have to do is respond appropriately to the test. Come and cast your cares upon the Lord. If you're struggling with something, if you have an addiction or a problem that just keeps cropping up, you can come right down here at the center of this aisle. Someone will come and help you pray about it. And there's an answer here. Praise God, you can pass the test tonight. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, praise God, you need to qualify for the race. God wants you to go to heaven, but you have to get the map. You have to find the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus Christ. That comes through repentance from sin, asking God to forgive you and committing yourself to change. That's repentance and being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And you'll know you passed the test when you hear the sound of it. Praise God. You can have that tonight. Just come right down here and pray. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost if you respond appropriately. Praise God. Amen. And God is a healer. If you need healing, I believe that he wants to heal us. Praise God. And there's healing in this place. There's healing in the presence of God. And if we call on the name of Jesus, we can receive that healing tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the stripes that he bore in Jesus' name. Come down on this side. Let someone pray with you. We have seen miracles in this place. We have heard testimony of great things that God has done when we have prayed in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But the stripes that he bore, they were born for our healing. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. You can pass the test today. You can pass the test tomorrow. You can pass the test the next day. Just keep turning to Jesus. Keep surrendering to Jesus. Keep seeking Jesus. Praise God. The answer's here tonight. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Word of God. He's the living Word. He's the bread of heaven. He's the manna come down from heaven. Praise God. He's everything you need. He's the answer. You can pass the test with Jesus Christ.